Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, your host, and I'd like to give some gratitude over to Don Newsome and Seth Hendrick at BBS Radio for providing us with this great platform to raise consciousness. I have tonight a guest I'm very, very excited about. It's Dr. John DeMartini, and his website, being this is internet radio, you can pull that right up. It's www.drdemartini.com. That's drdemartini.com, no spaces. I'm going to read a bit from his bio. This is an incredible person. If there's anyone out there who hasn't heard of Dr. DeMartini yet, you're going to be talking about him for a long time. He's born in Houston, Texas. Dr. DeMartini was one of two children, and at the age of seven, he was told that he had a learning disability and would never read, write, or communicate. At 14, he was a high school dropout living on the streets and panhandling for food to survive. After a near-death experience at 17, due to a severe strychnine poisoning, Dr. DeMartini made a decision that would change his life forever. And I'm going to quote Dr. DeMartini here. It says, "After being given a second chance, I made the decision to dedicate my life to becoming a teacher, healer, and philosopher. This has been my mission for 30 years. I became a doctor of chiropractic and clinical researcher to understand the essence of healing. I became a professional speaker to master the art of teaching, and I became a student of science, theology, and philosophy to understand our connection with the divine." Everything you're about to learn about this man totally backs up what I just read. Dr. DeMartini was also one of the featured philosopher teachers in the world-renowned hit movie, The Secret, and was interviewed on the CNN Larry King Live Show for his portrayal in the hit movie. He is considered foremost in the field of philosophy, transformation, and expanding global consciousness. Again, his website is drdemartini.com. There is so, so much more that I could tell you about this man, including that he travels 300 days a year in over 50 countries across the globe, and that he's the author of over 40 books. Some of his best-selling titles include The Breakthrough Experience, A Revolutionary New Approach to Personal Transformation. I have that in my lap and love it. Count Your Blessings, How to Make One Hell of a Profit and Still Go to Heaven, another book I love. Heart of Love, another great book, and You Have an Amazing Life in Just 60 Days, Riches Within, and recently, The Gratitude Effect. In recent times, Dr. DeMartini has captured the attention of celebrities, international sports personalities, and political figures as a result of a self-help methodology he developed and coined as the DeMartini Method. Derived from a study of quantum physics, the DeMartini Method is now being studied around the world. And I found out about Dr. DeMartini not from the movie The Secret, but from one of my favorite chiropractors, Dr. Steve Tullius, and Dr. John Holland, who Dr. Tullius studied under, and both studied under Dr. DeMartini, and can't say enough good things about him. Without further ado, I'd like to bring on Dr. John DeMartini. Are you there?
I'm there. Thank you. What an introduction. Thank you.
Well, you know, what a life you've had, and I'm sure there's a lot more coming. I'm just so inspired by how you have taken what you were told as a young boy and turned it around and are using every single thing that could have stopped you to help transform, you know, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people 300 days a year and then some. And I'm sure that, you know, a lot of people out there, being the human condition, challenges us constantly. What you've done is you've shown us all a way to transmute that pain and those challenges and to find the blessing in crisis, which is just astoundingly helpful to help us remember who we really are and pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and keep going. So, you know, it's if you could just tell us, our listeners, a little bit more about your beginnings and the person who you met who really, really took you under his wing and gave you the belief in yourself that caused such a shift, that would be really great.
Well, you know, I thank you for that. When I was leaving home at 14, and I was hitchhiking from Houston, Texas to California, I got stopped in El Paso, Texas, having to hitchhike through the town. The freeway hadn't been built yet, so I had to walk through the town. And when I did, I was confronted by three cowboys that didn't like surfers at the time, and I was on my way to surf in California. And I got confronted and challenged, and I didn't know what to do, so the only thing I could do is scream, bark, and growl. And so I literally did this, and when I did, there was a bum, a guy I thought was a bum on the corner who heard me do that, because it distracted the cowboys and made them run, actually. They were freaked out by it.
Right.
And this bum came up to me, and he put his arm on me, and he says, "Sonny, that's the funniest dang thing I've ever seen." He says, "Can I buy you a cup of coffee?" And I said, "Well, I don't drink coffee. Can I buy you a Coca-Cola?" And I said, "Yes, sir." So he takes me to this malt shop in El Paso, Texas, and we sit down in these swivel stools. And he says, "Are you a runaway boy?" And I said, "Well, no, my parents dropped me off on the freeway." and he says, "Did you drop out of school?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he says, "You're going to California to surf?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Did you finish your Coke?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "Then I have something I want to teach you. I want you to follow me, and I want to teach you something." So I follow this guy a few blocks, another few blocks, up these steps to the downtown El Paso library. I'm 14 years old. I walk in the library with this guy. We have to put my board, my surfboard, and my bag there at the entrance because I couldn't go in with it. And we walked in there. He sat me down at a table. He runs off to the bookshelves. He comes back, and he sits down next to me, and he says, "There's two things I want to teach you, young man. The first one is I want you to never judge a book by its cover because it will fool you." And he says, "I bet you think I'm a bum, but I'm one of the wealthiest men in the world. I have everything that money can buy. I have ships and planes and offices and homes." And he says, "But a year ago, somebody very special to me passed away, and I realized that I've had so much, but I didn't know what it was like to have nothing. So I decided to travel and to find out what it's like to be kind of like a bum on the street." He says, "Number two," and he put my right hand on top of two books that he pulled from the shelves, which happened to be Plato and Aristotle. And he had me put my hands on there, and he says, "Now, young man, you learn how to read, boy. You learn how to read, because there's only two things that nobody can take away from you, and that is your love and your wisdom. So you learn how to read, boy, and you gain the wisdom of love and the love of wisdom."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was kind of like blown away by that. I thought, this guy's a really character, you know. And anyway, he then put the books on the shelves and walked back and showed me how to go back to the highway. And I later found out that was Howard Hughes.
Oh, boy.
I had dinner with his granddaughter, and I found out that was Howard Hughes. He was there working with El Paso Natural Gas, getting gas over to a brewery that he was building in, I believe it was in San Antonio or Austin. And so here I'm sitting there, and I, without even realizing it, I was somehow blessed to meet somebody who had a bigger vision and was called to do it. So I was thinking that here I am, you know, not realizing at the time that in nature and in our lives, there's magnificent feedback to us to make sure that we do something extraordinary with our life.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't always see it. And I didn't see it at the time, but I can look back now and I go, wow, how thankful I am that I was led to the right place at the right time to meet the right people to learn the right things.
Right.
And anything we in our lives that we can't say thank you for is in our burden, in our baggage, but anything we can look back and see in a state of gratitude becomes our fuel and opportunity. So then I went on to California and eventually off to Hawaii, and then I end up, almost dying from the strychnine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was led to a health food store in the recovery process, and that's where I saw a flyer on the door one day that I paid attention to and decided to go to this little talk that this guy was giving.
Mm-hmm.
I never went to talks. I mean, I dropped out of school. I didn't go to talks. But something intuitively said, again, intuition, led me to this talk where this old gentleman, 93-year-old gentleman, was speaking. And it was that night, while this one man spoke for 1 hour, he shared one message in 1 hour that shifted me.
Hmm.
He said that, you know, we have a body, we have a mind, and we have a soul. The body must be guided by the mind, and the mind must be guided by the soul to live maximally and to live with full potential. He says you got to set goals for yourself, your family, your community, your city, your state, your nation, your world.
Mm-hmm.
You got to set them for at least 100, 120 years, and you have something amazing inside you, something extraordinary. You have the capacity to do anything that you dream about, and there's nothing on earth that stops you except yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there and listened to this guy for an hour, and my life changed.
Yep, it sure did. And you have found a phenomenal way to apply all kinds of different methodologies into a communication that can reach the heart of any person, and to be told that you wouldn't read, write, or communicate when you were seven, and to turn out to be this brilliant man that I feel you are, and many, many, many thousands feel you are, is beyond inspiring. I think I'd need to coin a new term for it.
Well, you know, after meeting this guy and then having the opportunity to spend 3 weeks each morning with him and learning, you know, principles like The Secret and beyond,
mm-hmm.
He inspired me to want to go back and learn and to learn how to read. And it wasn't an easy project. I had to go to a dictionary and, you know, try to read one word at a time. And my mom used to, when I finally moved home, I eventually moved back to Texas when I was 18. And I took a GED, a high school equivalency test, and then a college entrance test, and I somehow, by guessing, passed. I don't know how. I was just blessed, purely guessing.
Hmm.
And I tried to do a college class, and I failed it. I just blew it, and I almost gave up on my dream. And my mom came to me, and she put her arm on my shoulder, and she said, "Son, whether you become a great teacher, healer, and philosopher, or whether you go back and live on the streets, I just want to let you know that your father and I are going to love you no matter what."
Oh, that's beautiful.
And when she did that, I gave her a hug, and I locked myself in my room, and I just started reading dictionaries and words, and I made a commitment to myself that I was not going to let anything on the face of the earth stop me from my mission. I was going to be a teacher, healer, and philosopher. And I started reading and memorizing 30 words a day until my vocabulary grew, and I started reading and reading and reading and reading literally 18, 20 hours a day and trying to just do everything I could to catch up and try to learn the laws of the universe, as they say.
Right.
And anything that can maximize human awareness and potential and help people live magnificent, inspired lives, just like this guy did for me. I wanted to do for other people.
Pay it forward, definitely.
Exactly.
Yep, and I think that's our natural instinct. I mean, we're all born to be innately of service, and we somehow lose our way along the way, and people like you come around and help us remember what we forgot.
You know, I think that inside us is a genius. Everyone has it, I'm certain. And what happens is that we sometimes cloud and shroud and don't unveil the sunny truth of our heart that guides us, and we hold ourselves into kind of a mediocrity because we subordinate ourselves to outside influence instead of let the voice and the vision from within guide us.
Right, right. And I happen to know, I mean, it's like you don't age. You probably look the same way you do now when you were 14.
I don't know about that.
Well, you just don't age. I recently saw you.
I looked in the mirror and I looked at my butt the other day, and it wasn't quite the same as it was.
Well, I haven't seen your butt, but I have seen your face and your hair.
Some people, you know, I got to share a funny thing. I was at the Cheesecake Factory in Houston, Texas, just 2-3 years ago, and I had just flown in from Australia from doing a tour in Australia, and I just flew in. I was going to get a quick bowl of soup on the way over to my office, and I was sitting there at the bar area because otherwise you'd have to wait an hour.
Uh-huh.
And just slurping away some soup. And had this, I was just in a hurry, just slurping some soup.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl comes up to me and taps me on the shoulder. And she says, "Excuse me, sir." And I said, "Yes." And she must have been 26 or something. And I said, "Yes." And she said, "My girlfriend and I were watching you over here, and we thought we were all alone, and we thought maybe you'd like to join us for dinner."
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, "Well, God, that's really nice of you, you know." And it's a little dark, obviously. And I said, "Do you mind if I ask you a question?" She said, "No." And I said, "What made you come over here and ask me to do that?" And she said, "Well, you just seem like an interesting-looking fellow, and we were by ourselves, and you were by yourself, and we thought maybe you'd like to join us." And I said, "Well, good. Do you mind if I ask you one more question?" She said, "No." I said, "How old do you think I am?"
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Maybe 36, 37, 38. And I said, "If I told you I was over 50, would you still want me to come over there?" And she says, "Well, if you're busy, I understand." Poof! She went.
Oh, funny. That's so funny. And she was probably very genuine in saying how old she thought you were and thought she might be in.
Yeah, she thought I think was younger, you know. Sometimes in a dark area I can pass that, you know.
Well, no, and I know I heard you say at one of your talks, it was very recently, it was for your breakthrough experience. I don't remember what month it was, but John Steller and I were sitting in the front row with John Holland, our chiropractor friend who studied under you, and somebody mentioned about your age, and you said, "Well, as long as you're connected to Source, you don't age."
Yeah.
If you're connected to Source energy, if you can do it all the time, you're just not going to age. And you don't put anything on your hair, and it's still dark, and I didn't see any gray in it, and you have hardly any I didn't actually. I've got a picture of you with both of us, and I look at it, and I don't see any lines on your face. And you know, you are so living exactly what you talk about that it just calls forth the greatness out of everybody. And I can't imagine you having a breakthrough experience seminar and having even one person go home unchanged.
Well, that's true. I think that's
exactly.
True.
You don't give up.
I just happened to be with me from 8 in the morning till midnight, and then from 9 to 6 would make anybody change.
Well, yeah. You know, it's like you're arm wrestling them until they finally do give in.
Yeah, I make sure that they have a breakthrough. That's the whole commitment.
That's awesome. And one thing, but there's many, many things I love about the breakthrough experience, and I just want to bring up this topic and see if I can get you to elaborate on it, is the person who causes us the most grief in our life actually is the one bringing us the biggest gift. Is that right?
Well, I always say that every single thing, you know, has a burst of pair of opposites. So no matter what happens, you know, things you think are crisis, there's always blessings, and things you think are blessings have downsides.
Mm-hmm.
So wisdom is not getting infatuated or resentful to things, but to dig deeper and probe deeper into the mysteries of the balance of life and uncover that there's nothing but love. All else was illusion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I always say that if you get infatuated, whatever you infatuate with consumes space and time in your mind and run you. Anything you resent consumes space and time in your mind and run you. But anything you love is liberated and free to be created as a source to create new things with.
Right. And it gives you nothing but expansion.
Yeah, it gives you expansion, because I always say love and light and radiation go together, and fear and guilt and gravitation and constriction go together. So, you know, if you are grateful, you illuminate your light. You illuminate your gratitude in life.
Absolutely. And I believe that gratitude is the keys to divinity.
Well, I think that's what it means. Gracias or grace or mercy in different languages are the same thing. And I would say that gratitude is the key that opens up the gateway of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And inside the heart is the love and light waiting to radiate out spherically, to literally reach out beyond the domains of our mind to the point of our soul to recognize, as Schopenhauer says, that no matter what we see around us, it's us.
Yes, and we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are.
Yeah, it's all reflective awareness.
Exactly.
To the degree that we see around us, when we own it within us, we recognize our grandness.
Mm-hmm. I also know that you have a philosophy that if somebody is criticizing us, it's actually they're honoring us, because we have somehow dumbfounded them as to what we're going to be doing next. So they criticize what they don't understand.
Yeah, not only that, but the second somebody critiques us, they're balancing out and helping break us our addiction from our praise. Because if we're sitting there addicted to praise, we have to attract the critical person to break our addiction, to set ourselves free from exaggerating or minimizing ourselves,
mm-hmm.
but to make sure that we're balanced and authentic.
I love that. I love that. And to come from where you come from, and to get these absolute truths that, you know, everybody has a knower, and when somebody's telling you something that's not true, you tend to know it somewhere inside, and when somebody's telling you something that is absolute truth, you tend to know that also. And, you know, what you do is you break it down to the point where it cannot be denied. And deductive reasoning is something that you are a genius at, and your deductive reasoning absolutely makes what you're saying crystal clear. And I love how you will take as long as it takes to get every person in the room to understand what it is you're talking about.
that's called, you know, if it supports their values, they call me determined and relentless. If it goes against their values, they call me stubborn.
I understand. And a lot of people get angry and confronted in the breakthrough experience because you're transforming your life. Instead of coming from the outside in, you're teaching people to come from the inside out. And that's a whole different paradigm shift. That's you know, it's painful.
Yep. Well, because, you know, people sometimes don't give themselves permission to be the extraordinary person and the magnificent being that they really are, and it's scary to let loose and kind of float into the ethers of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And when all of a sudden they do, until they get comfortable with it, it's a little it's shaking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But once they do and they see their real self, they realize how magnificent they are.
Right. And when we were in the womb for 9 months in our gestational period, we didn't have to want for anything. All we got to do is just be there and allow it to come. And life after being born is very much that way, don't you think?
Absolutely.
You just need to surrender to allowing, because there's a real art to allowing.
Look, if we can go from a nice environment, you know, in the womb and come out into the world, we can handle anything.
Yeah, birth is pretty challenging.
Yeah, somebody's got a we're deforming our head. We're coming out there. There's light. It's like, whoa.
Yep.
And we can handle anything.
Right, and it's like the metamorphosis of a butterfly. I heard a story once. It's a beautiful story. I'm sure you've heard it too. Is this man was watching a cocoon. He watched a caterpillar on this tree inside of his house build a cocoon, stay in the cocoon, and it was time for the butterfly to emerge. And he was watching it, and he just noticed that it was struggling and struggling and struggling, and there was this tiny hole, and it was just struggling and struggling. And he felt so bad for the butterfly trying to come out that he took a little pair of tiny scissors and cut a bigger hole so that the butterfly did not have to struggle to get out. And sure enough, it came right out. And when it did, it walked out on a limb, and it sort of stayed there. And he waited a day, and he thought, wow, well, it should be like a beautiful monarch by now. What's going on? And it just was just kind of deformed and crippled, and he didn't understand what had happened, when actually the struggle of the butterfly coming out of the cocoon, it is the struggle itself that pushes the imagining cells into the butterfly's wings that causes it to develop. So without that struggle, it cannot fly.
It has to have it.
It has to have it.
I always say that if you over-support and protect somebody, you'll keep them juvenile, but if you challenge them and give them accountabilities and responsibilities, you'll awaken their precocious capacities.
Precocious capacities. I love that. That's great. And another thing, too, is on the topic of genius. I believe all of us are genius. I believe that genius is not just about academia. I believe, for me personally, I believe that genius is how connected to source you allow yourself to be.
I always say the definition of a genius that I first learned was the one who listens to their light of their soul and obeys.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cross-modal sound and light at the same time.
Right. And what is the point in your breakthrough experience seminar? Is it like a pattern? Is there a certain point like Saturday night or early Sunday morning where people just sort of get it and start going, oh my gosh, I get it. That person that I had the big issue with was actually somebody that is the best thing that ever happened to me. I mean, does it happen all at once with people, or do they just kind of go stand up and say, I got it, all over the room throughout the...
Yeah, it varies, because some people get it on Saturday night doing the program, and some on Sunday morning. I mean, we try to get them all on Saturday night, but some, you know, straggle in the morning and before they get it. But we don't let them leave. I will stay sometimes Sunday night till midnight, whatever it takes to make sure that nobody leaves that program without having what they came for.
Yeah, we've heard about that, and we have a dear client who did your last breakthrough experience. I think it was in San Francisco, and he had a business partner who he had with for 12 years, just the closest relationship, closer than brothers, closer, just really close, beautiful relationship. And they had a falling out. Apparently, the business partner emailed him that he was quitting. And it wasn't an in-person conversation or anything, and he just felt horrible about it, and the resentment was just tangible, and it was just eating up his life, and he never got over it. And then he took the breakthrough experience, and I believe it's called the quantum collapse process that he did on that person.
Yeah, the DeMartini method. It's another name for it.
Mm-hmm. And he did that on this person, and for Christmas, he had their family over for Christmas. So it became healed and mended and beautiful, like that butterfly coming out of the cocoon because it struggled to get out. And it's just incredible, the stories that we hear about what happens in your seminars. And I'd like to let our listeners know that you have one coming up in Los Angeles, for those who are in Los Angeles. It's January 17 and 18 at the Hilton LAX Airport Hotel, and that's all on your website, isn't it?
It should be. I believe it's on you just gave it out, I think, drdemartini.com website.
Yep, and it's very easy to find. Then you have one on January 31st through February 1st in Toronto at the Renaissance Toronto Airport Hotel, and then February 14th and 15th, that should be good for working out love relationships because it's Valentine's Day, San Francisco at the Sheraton Gateway, and then you have January 24th through the 25th in Hawaii, the Hyatt Waikiki, and February 7th through 8th, Dallas Gaylord Texan Convention Center. What do you do to recharge your batteries in between all of this?
You know, I don't ever have a battery that drives down. I've been blessed. I go, you know, every day. I just don't even think about it. When you do what you love and love what you do, you don't run your battery down, I think.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I know that when you're living your purpose, you could do it all day and never stop, and it gives you vitality. And it's like, you know, the things that I do in life that are of service to people, I need 3 or 4 hours to come down from it after I'm done coaching somebody. And it feels fantastic. And when you're living your purpose, then you've absolutely discovered who you really are.
I think that's true. I think that we don't age as much, and I feel like our vitality in life is directly proportionate to the vividness of our vision, and our vision is crystal clear if we're congruent with our values and inspired by our mission.
Absolutely, and I have a Cadyism. It goes like this. True wealth is determined by being able to afford your imagination.
I love it.
Yeah, and it's true. It's just, you know, you can have, do, and be anything you choose to as long as you surrender to it. And I do hope everybody will go to drdmartini.com, check out the Breakthrough Experience. And you also have another seminar called Master Planning for Life.
I just finished it here in Los Angeles this last weekend. I'm going to be doing one in South Africa and one in Australia. But right now, we just finished it. It was fabulous.
Wonderful.
3 solid days of just asking ourselves literally 2,000 questions and defining really concisely exactly how we want our lives.
Well, when you do something like that, the universe shows up to support every single thing, every time. And if it doesn't look like you thought it would, the universe is still at work, and it will all come out. And when you distinguish things to that degree, it's amazing what can happen. And if you don't know what you want, the universe can't show up to support you.
I always say that any detail you leave out of your vision is a detail that somebody else puts in. And any detail that you leave out of your vision is a challenge and obstacle that you think you're going through.
Exactly.
Just as a reminder to get the detail back.
Yep. And I would like to touch base a little bit on the topic of who's minding the store. What do you have to say about that?
Well, anytime we're infatuated or resentful to something on the outside or have memories and imaginations that keep us present from the inside, we are, in a sense, relinquishing our power to run our own store.
Mm-hmm.
And the second we are actually grateful and loving and inspired and present and certain, which happens when we're balanced again, then we get to run our store and we get to sell our love to the world.
Right. And I have a good question now. What's a great action step for somebody to get to that place when they just downright don't want to?
Well, you know, I always say that if you're grateful for things, the more you're grateful for things, the more things you get to be grateful for. So I say no matter what you're going through, stop and start listing what you are grateful for.
Right.
And your mind shifts. You start to see things differently.
Yep. And today something happened that wasn't exactly convenient. And the first thing I said when it happened, it looked like a breakdown. And I said, wait, what's perfect about this? And as soon as I had the thought, I left that place and went to a place that could actually help me. So, you know, rather than have a breakdown and get mad or make somebody wrong, I just said, what's perfect about this? And went on with my day. So you know, and I was really impressed that I was able to do that, because I could have got really mad. You know, I am one of those people who is susceptible to the human condition because I am in a physical body. And it's just really hard sometimes when you're on it and you're in it and you get frustrated and you're spiraling into some kind of a, like, grr, you know, I'm really angry right now, to pull yourself out of that, to pull up on the controls so you don't crash and burn. What's your favorite thing to do? Because I know you must go through it, too.
Well, you know, I if you allow yourself to get elated, you force yourself to get depressed. If you have unrealistic expectations for people or yourself to live outside your true values, you end up with the ABCs of negativity. Anger, aggression, blame, betrayal, criticism, and challenge. But if you have realistic expectation on the universe, you realize how melodious this world is. And then you appreciate the life. So the volatility, I don't experience the extremes of volatility like I once did in my 20s, for instance.
Huh?
But I do believe that if I have a moment where I'm not seeing the divine order, I stop, I look at what I'm grateful for, and I ask the simple question, how is whatever I'm experiencing, whether supportive or challenging, serve my highest mission? And I do it, and I answer it, and I find it, and it's always there.
You totally rock, Dr. T. Martini. I'm serious. It's just like, you know, what you say makes so much sense that it just cannot be denied. And I know, as I was reading the Breakthrough Experience book, how a woman was in your course, and because she took your course, she decided that it was time to break up with her husband because I don't know if she was having an affair or he was having an affair, but anyway, she confronted him, and he called you up and said, you ruined my life, you ruined my marriage, and just ranted and ranted at you, and you got him to calm down and asked him how exactly you ruined his marriage. And you got him to the point where he actually saw the sense of what his wife was going through, and he eventually came and did your course also, didn't he?
Yeah, he came. And then he realized that he was actually blessed.
Yeah.
It was actually blessed by the whole scenario, and he shifted his life big time. Yeah, sometimes when we don't know how to process and perceive things in a way where we're winning out of it, we want to blame and dissociate. But no, this gentleman has gone on to do great things. It's interesting to see that it's not what happens to you, it's how you perceive it.
Yeah.
And so the mastery of life is a mastery of the way you perceive and the attitude towards things. And we have access, because the quality of our life is based on the quality of the questions we ask. And if we ask amazing questions, we lead ourselves to amazing lives.
I agree completely with that. And right now I'm going to invite some people to call in and give out the call-in numbers, if you're open to some questions.
Sure.
Wonderful. Toll-free in the U.S. only is 877-876-5227. It looks like not wearing glasses. It's 877-876-5227. And in Canada only, it's 888-815-9756. And the direct line is 530-876-3222 for anyone who'd like to call in and just take this wonderful opportunity to speak with Dr. DeMartini about something you might be going through or grappling with that I'm sure in a couple of sentences could get turned around here. And meanwhile, while we're waiting for people to get brave enough to call in, we can continue our conversation. And I would like to talk to you about just romantic love, and I use the term romantic with a kind of hesitancy, because in my mind the term romantic is almost like infatuation, which isn't real love. So in the heart of love, what would you say to people as they're setting out to become married? Would you want them to ask themselves exactly why they want to be married and what is it they're hoping to give and receive in that relationship?
Yeah, I think it's, anytime we're infatuated with something, what we're doing is we're minimizing ourselves. Infatuated with a person, we're minimizing ourselves, exaggerating them, and when we do, we tend to inject their values into our lives, and then we set up unrealistic expectations on ourselves to try to live according to their values. We then, because of our dopamine highs and our addiction to them, we fear their loss, and therefore we sacrifice ourselves for them and eventually develop resentment because we want to be who we are. We want to be loved for who we are.
Right.
So what happens is if we put them on a pedestal and minimize ourselves and walk on eggshells to try to be with them, we're going to build up so much resentment that we want to be set free from the bondage of our infatuation. So it's wisdom to have a balanced perspective right from the beginning.
Right.
Because if your intuition is always trying to reveal to you what you're ignoring in your perceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you see all the positives and don't see any of the negatives or all the support without the challenge, then your intuition is trying to reveal you that's saying this is too good to be true. We're not really seeing this person for who they are. And we're going to be addicted to a fantasy, and we're going to set up unrealistic expectations because of it, which is automatically going to lead us to anger and aggression and blame and betrayal and criticism and challenge. Or because we're minimizing ourselves, they're going to say, hey, go get a life, I want to be with somebody who's got strength, not somebody who's minimizing themselves. So what I'm trying to say is that it's wise to have a balanced orientation as much as possible right from the beginning so you can be set free to be your authentic self, so you get to discover whether they love you for who you are, and you get to discover that you love them for who they are.
Absolutely, and if you keep trying to be the one for them for fear that they won't be the one for you, if you're not the one for them, then they're definitely not the one for you, and you're not the one for them, because you're too busy trying to be what they want you to be.
Yeah, and you sacrifice yourself, you're just going to resent them.
Totally. And, the more you can just be who you absolutely are, warts and all, just, all your stuff gets laid on the table, you're transparent, you're authentic, you're genuine, and something blossoms out of that. That is the Holy Grail, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's what it's about. That's what it's designed for.
Yep.
But I always say that the mastery of relationships is the identifying what's truly most important and valuable to you, your values,
mm-hmm.
and then identifying what's truly most important to them. In my book, The Heart of Love, that's what I give them tools on how to do this. identify what's most important to them, and then master the art of communicating what is important to you in terms of what's important to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you don't feel like you have to sacrifice for them per se.
Mm-hmm.
You just get the art of communicating what's important, and you get to do what you want, and you help them get what they want.
And
that's doable. It's a science on how to do it. I outline it in the book, and it works if you work it.
Oh, it's fantastic. And so what you're doing is basically you're speaking into their listening.
That's it, because they're not. Otherwise, it's an alternating monologue instead of a dialogue.
Oh my gosh, I'm laughing because I see it all the time, and you know, I've actually been that way myself with a was bender too, and I've learned a lot from what it was I brought to the relationship. I took 2 years off from dating altogether, and just learned to become my own beloved, and learned to find out who am I and what are my values, and what is my authentic self, and get back to my true nature before I even ventured forth to any kind of thought of being in a relationship. I was just going to be girlfriend to the universe and make a difference for the world the best way I could, and not have a physical partner in life. And it was by surrendering to the need for that and just working on loving me that attracted that partner to me, and we're going to be married in the spring.
That's great.
Yeah, and it's just the most fantastic union, and it's nothing but authenticity and genuine. And started out as just friends for about a year, and I got clobbered over the head one night when he said, "I'm charmed and enchanted by you." And I said, "What does that mean?" He said, "Well, it means I want to carry your books for you, I want to provide for you, I want to take care of your feelings, and I want to be your sacred partner." And I was like, "Okay, what's the sacred partner?" He goes, "I want to be your boyfriend." And I was like, "Whoa, I didn't see that coming at all." And what I did on the flip side of that for a year was, there's a term called, you can pray to Allah, but you better tie up your camel. So even though I was willing to be girlfriend to the universe, I went out to Macy's and got a Tommy Hilfiger beautiful velvet blue robe with matching slippers for a man. And I took a month to find the best fragrance I could find of a man that I would want to smell like that for, you know, forever. And I brought those items home. I hung the robe in my closet, the slippers under my bed, and I spritzed the cologne every evening before I went to bed. And when it became appropriate, this person who shared his feelings with me, he fit in the robe perfectly and the shoes, and he's gone through 2 bottles of that cologne. And so I guess I did do something to attract it, and the best thing I did was working on myself and learning to love myself before I entered into any kind of relationship again. So your book, The Heart of Love, is such a wonderful blueprint. For, like you said, it's a formula. It's a scientific kind of thing. It works if you work it, like you said.
Well, I would say that, look, every human being wants to be loved for who they are, not for what they should be or supposed to be or need to be or got to be or all the other imperatives. You just want to be loved for who you are. And no matter what you've done or not done, you're worthy of love. And so people want to be loved that way, and the only way they're going to do that is to be able to see the balance in themselves and love that part of themselves and know that they're always going to have praises and reprimands and likes and dislikes, and you're going to have supporters and challengers. And when you can keep your eye on the balance and synchronicity of those pairs of opposites and stay centered, embracing the synchronicity of those at once,
mm-hmm.
magic begins. That's when relationships are taken to new transcendent levels.
Yep, and the frequency is raised, and you recognize and honor the God in each other, and it's a beautiful thing to have, and it's so worth whatever it takes to get there. And what it takes to get there is to work through your issues about yourself and to learn to love those parts, like you said, that you disowned in yourself. When you can learn to accept those, then you can integrate and become whole, because two halves does not make a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say to
if any two people were exactly the same, one's not necessary, I tell them.
That's true.
And when two people are trying to change each other and project in righteousness their values onto somebody else and expect them to be like the person's is projecting, then you're automatically undermining the relationship, and the symptomatology in the relationship is a feedback mechanism to both the conscious minds to let them know that they're not being authentic and they're exaggerating themselves. And they will get humbled by that relationship dynamic until they finally see the truth.
That's beautiful. What do you say to people who are in love with a person's possibility, and then one day they go, I thought you were this person, and you're really not?
Well, that means that they projected their fantasy and expectations of their own values onto him and made assumptions instead of honored and looked carefully at what they really were about. And you look at the person's life and what their life demonstrates, that tells you what's obviously what their values are, what's important to them.
And what kind of mindset does a person need to be in to be able to be emotionally mature enough to do that in the first place?
I think it's, if you bang your head against enough walls, you eventually kind of, you get some scar tissue on it, or you get enough noggins on it that you finally say, you know, I think I'm going to start paying attention to what their needs are, too.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
I teach the same thing in kids. Many times parents project onto kids expectations, and they try to get them to learn what the parents want them to learn, instead of learn the art of communicating what the parents want to learn in terms of the children's interest and the things that inspire them. And then when they do, it's easy to get them to learn, because they love learning what's inspiring to them.
Yes, they do.
And the same thing in relationships. People love to be around people where they can be authentic and where they get to do what they love. And I always say that, what's in it for them? When you're in a relationship, you want to ask, what's in it for them? What are you offering? What's the package you're giving? And if you're an amazing package, then great. You have something to offer. But if you're not, it's time to be. I had a lady one time, she says, Dr. DeMartini, what do you do when you got a man that just can't commit? I said, there is no such thing. Mm. They're always committed to their values. And if you can fulfill their values more than anybody else, they'll stay with you. And then she goes, well, I don't understand. I said, well, look, what's in it for them? What are you offering him? Are you some sort of spiritual goddess that has glowing light and auric radiance? Well, no. Are you some sort of genius and have a mental capacity that's a high IQ and great education and everything else and mental capacities that are credible? Well, no, I'm a high school student graduate. I said, do you have a great vocation and have a major in multinational corporation? She goes, no, I work as a secretary. Do you have great fortune and dowry and great wealth? She goes, no, I'm in debt. You got a great stability in relationships, know how to communicate in people's values? No, I've been divorced twice. You are socially connected and call Oprah over for dinner? And she goes, no, I live in a small town. You are the hottest looking thing on the planet, most beautiful looking body, and make great lover? And she goes, well, I do okay there. I said, so what are you offering this guy? And she goes, well, after that, those questions, I don't feel like I'm offering him as much as I thought. I said, well, no wonder he's backing out and holding off on you. You got to look inside yourself and recognize your magnificence, because until you do, nobody else is going to. Until you honor the magnificence of yourself and discover how great you are, why would somebody else be with you?
Exactly. You see, you make it sound so simple, and it gets so complicated when, you know, we're chasing our tail and we don't know which end is up or why things are happening. I really, really feel that you're on this planet because you chose to be, and you're on this path because you chose it, and I believe that your spiritual contract is changing the world. And I want to thank you for that, not to embarrass you. I want to thank you for that personally, because you've made such a giant impact on my life and on everybody's life that I've spoken to about you. And I hope the listeners out there who are just learning about you tonight will really dig into your books and start reading, because there are treasures between those book covers, treasures. Every chapter, I mean, it's, you read a chapter. I read a chapter at a time, and I'm just like, whoa, that was just life transforming. And then I get to another chapter, and I thought I'd already gotten as much as I'm going to get, and then boom, I get even more then. And you know, your experiential breakthrough experience seminars are far superior to reading a book. And if a person reads the book first, or at least reads the book, they're going to be that much further ahead and farther along in their spiritual contract. And I believe that we're all put here so that we can discover our divinity. And, you know, we all have DNA that makes us all the same. So there's got to be something to this philosophy of we are all one. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I always say that in essence, at the soul level, we're all one and similar. But at the existence of our sensory-based body, we have so-called differences. The difference between our physical form and our essence of our soul is our value systems. And our values are based on what we think is still missing in our life, but in actuality, nothing is missing, but we haven't awoken to it.
Mm.
Once we realize that we actually have, as Schopenhauer says, we become ourselves to the degree that we make everything in the universe ourselves. Once we realize that everything around us is a reflection of us, and we actually own it to the same degree as we see it, we wake up our profoundness, our magnificence, and transcend our insignificance, and realize who we are. Which is, as you described, the divinity, which is basically the emanation of light and love.
Yes, yes. I have here some words that really moved me, and when I applied them to my life, it shifted in such magnificent ways immediately. I just want to share this with the listeners. It's in the Breakthrough Experience book, and it's the chapter on... I didn't plan on doing this, so excuse me while I turn a page. It's on page 159. I'll just say that so I don't take a lot of time here. It's words of wisdom and power. I talk to myself with the respect due a great genius. I look for the genius in everyone I meet. I link everything I do to my mission, and I am inspired by my life. I walk through the darkened doorway where fear lurks, and I turn on the light. I listen to my heart, which awakens my genius. My genius elevates me beyond my daily illusions. This is in every chapter. You have words and wisdom of power and power words at the end of every chapter. And just when you think that you've seen it all or read it all, you come up with something else that just lifts the person to another level. And the main thing in what I just read for me personally was, I talk to myself with the respect due a great genius. And I wrote a whole chapter on how I used to speak to myself and the committees in my head that used to keep me humble, but not in a healthy way. It's like I was stuck in my head with no parental guidance. And I applied this speaking to myself with respect to a great genius to that committee, and they pretty much disappeared. And a person can do that. I mean, you can... It's another hidden place inside a person that wasn't missing, that they get awakened to just by reading those words or hearing those words or you know, bumping into somebody like you. They get to awaken that part in them that's always been there that they didn't know about. So it's like a constantly blossoming flower.
Well, I always say that it's wise to give yourself permission to be extraordinary because you are. It's wise to give yourself permission to do something amazing because you can.
Mm-hmm.
It's wise to allow yourself to radiate and shine globally because your real nature is even beyond the globe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when people ask me, you know, where do you live, man? And I said, well, the universe is my playground. The world is my home. Every country is another room in the house, and every city is another platform. They say, oh, my God, what do you do when you're away from your kids? And I say, well, look, I just live in a big friggin' house. I'm never away from them. You're thinking small again.
Wow. We're all your kids.
Yeah.
That's great. And you're ours.
Instead of using walking from room to room, you fly from room to room. Instead of using a yelling or talking across the room, you use Skype. That's just a different medium. The boundary between space and time are all mind games anyway.
Right. No, that's definitely expanded thinking. Absolutely. I think I feel my brain stretching right now. To imagine the world as being your home and all the things you just said. This radio show even is just another way to speak to a person. And, you know, it's speaking to the globe right now. It's a global radio show. So what is... Before we go, we're almost already finished with the hour. We're going to stop at 7 at 6:53 at the moment. What is the one thing in all of your breakthrough experience seminars that comes to mind that was a thing that changed you the most?
One thing that came in the seminar that had an impact on me?
Yes.
Oh, God, there's so many of them.
The biggest, best one.
Well, one thing that I have to say that inspired me is I was in Hawaii, I guess about 2 years ago, and I was speaking at the Breakthrough Experience there, and in the back of the room, a short little lovely lady came walking in a beautiful pinkish outfit with a hat on.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked back there, and I went, oh, my God. And it was Patricia Bragg.
Hmm.
And Patricia Bragg was the daughter of the man who inspired me when I was 17.
Wow.
And I kept speaking. And I kept speaking and speaking, and it came to a break. And as I came to a break, she came up to me, and she grabbed my hands, and she looked up into my eyes, and she says, oh, my God, when I was listening to you, I thought I was in the presence of my father.
Hmm.
And I got a tear in my eye because I thought, wow, you know, the very thing that I had dreamed about doing is trying to do and make a difference in other people's lives like he did for me that day. she was basically, you know, saying that I had touched her.
Mm.
So that was a very meaningful moment to know that, you know, all these years later, I was trying to make a difference that way, and there was some difference made.
Wow.
So that was one. But there's hundreds of cases where people that I've been blessed to do. I mean, people that have had so many challenges in their life that I've been blessed to participate in, watch them, you know, doing the breakthrough experience and the DeMartini method, break through things and come out and just see the divinity.
Right.
And so I just so many of them. I don't even know where to begin. There's just, I mean, I do it every week. I see it every week, and they're just, it's amazing.
Well, there's one thing about you that I noticed, actually many, many, many things, but this one thing for me about you, when I was at your seminar, is the level of certainty that you have about what you're saying has me know without a doubt that you are channeling something from some higher place, and the certainty that you speak with to me is all the proof I need that this is pure wisdom and it's coming straight from source. And when I look at you, I happen to know that that's why you don't age. So
well, you know, when I see if I see a wrinkle on my face, I get a washcloth and scrape that sucker off.
Is that a special washcloth?
Yeah.
Can I get one?
Yeah, it's just a washcloth. I get red sometimes.
Okay.
And I do have a few grays that are popping in, so I they're coming, but you know, when I see them, I meditate on black. Black.
Well, I believe that we can will ourselves to you know how the body heals itself, and that's what chiropractic is all about, giving the body permission to heal itself. And you can definitely cause those gray hairs to turn black again, or the gray ones to fall out and new black ones come in.
Well, I believe that we have the capacity. I think there's evidence that we have the capacity with our nutrition, with our psychology, with our physiology to do a tremendous amount of it. If we can take normal differentiated cells in the body and regress them to stem cells, and then turn around and, you might say, differentiate them to normal cells again, I wonder what else we can do.
There's no
we
limit.
Know we can do that now in the lab. We can do that. So we can do it inside our physiology.
That's amazing. And if we had more time, I'd really love you to elaborate on, and if people will pick up the book, The Breakthrough Experience, you're going to read so many fantastic things. And there was one story where you were invited to the school. I forget the teacher's name. I apologize for
Marilyn
that.
Marilyn Wilhelm, yes.
Yes, and she taught regular children to believe that they had genius in them, and by golly, she brought it out in every one of them. And the thing that was different about her as well was her certainty and belief in each child that brought forth that child's greatness. And that's what you do.
Well, you know, I try to do what she does for kids, I do now for kids too, but I try to do that for adults. You know, and I've been blessed to be able to do that.
Well, you speak to the children and the adults.
Yeah, well, I do a Young Adults Inspired Destiny program, and it is so inspiring to watch young people, you know, all of a sudden see their vision and what they're capable of doing and get on it. It's just extraordinary.
Well, with the youth that they have at the time, with all the years they have ahead of them to develop whatever it is they're discovering, has got to be, you know, beyond wild in their perception.
Well, I've seen people, young boys and girls in Africa and townships that live with $200 a year and a whole family, and I've seen them all of a sudden see glimpses of doing something globally, and I've watched them change. I watched one little boy just absolutely raise a family. He's 14 years old, raise an entire family of 9 brothers and sisters without parents by himself and save 15% of his income living in a shack. I've seen amazing things happen that are mind-blowing. But what happens is when all of a sudden somebody taps into their authentic and genuine and congruent and aligned self, all of a sudden their vitality soars, their clarity and vision opens up, and their actions become congruent. Amazing things happen.
And your energy goes through the roof, and your courage and your strength to live your dream, to get those books written, to create that new healing modality, whatever it is. And when you get to that place like you just said, that gives you the fuel required to achieve it. So it's beautiful how nature works, just beautiful. And we're coming up on 7 o'clock, and it happened way too soon for my liking. Thank you, Dr. DeMartini, for being a part of this show.
And thank you.
Oh, my gosh. I just had the best time chatting with you. And thank you for the great work you're doing in the world. And I'm just so excited to see what you're going to think up next.
Thank you. And if people are listening live, maybe they can join me on I'll be doing a program at the Fairmont Miramar Hotel in Santa Monica called Wealth Wisdom, Creating Wealth and Well-Being Through Economic Crisis, tomorrow night.
Yes.
And then in the weekend here at the Hilton, I will be doing the Breakthrough Experience. So if they'd like to join me, please just all they have to do is go to drdemartini.com, and I'll be glad to help them out.
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned the Marriott, the one happening tomorrow night, because it skipped my mind. I was actually invited to it, and I wasn't able to attend, which it was. I didn't like that, but here we are talking, so that sort of helps. The website, again, is drdemartini.com. Go check it out. Get in one of these seminars. Get his books. Get in all these seminars. And just go from impossible to I'm possible. And remember, the last six letters of attraction are action. And Dr. DeMartini, you're a real statement about that. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next week. And good night.